Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Mr. Allen producing and engineering our show in the other studio, a little glass area separating the two of us there. Ray and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this February 3rd, 2016. A very cold, well, it's not as cold, well, about the same as yesterday, but the night, whoa, it was bitter cold. Night last night. Hopefully it'll be a little warmer today. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice. Have a full hour as usual. The first Wednesday of the month is our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales getting ready to duke it out at 12:30. Oro Valley Mayor Dr. Satish Hiremath will be joining us. Then we'll wrap up the hour with a preview of what's coming up in the What If series, which has been very successful Saturday series out at Biosphere 2. The Buckmaster Show has links on several places, very easy to find us, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and how about, David Morales, how about your site, The Three Sonorans?
It's doing good. Just wrote an article yesterday, so check it out.
All right. Sean McCluskey and David Morales with us. How are you gentlemen today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Big news of the day, our friend Dan Scheer breaking this story down in Green Valley, the Green Valley News. Dan put out a story that Supervisor Ray Carroll will not be seeking re-election, and Dan has three, as Dan says, rock-solid sources that say that Mr. Carroll will be retiring. In our interview with Ray Carroll on January 22nd on this program, Mr. Carroll was asked whether he decided to seek re-election, and he said that's a good question.
Of course, I've been in office for five terms. It's a nice round number, 20, so it's, of course, a good time to reflect on my last 20 years in office and if I've done any good. So I'm happy to be open to you, Bill, and I'll let you know in all that time for reflection.
All right. Sean, Mr. Carroll has not confirmed Dan Scheer's story.
It's a speculated rumor. It's right. Three rock-solid sources, mm-hmm. but at this point, it's still a rumor that he's not going to run for re-election.
You've been a friend of Ray Carroll's for many years.
I have been. He supported me,
well.
And I support him.
I've been a friend of Ray's, and I think we do, if this is his retirement, we do have to acknowledge we thank him for 20 years of service.
Oh, absolutely. It's, he's done some good in the beginning. He had a great start, very fiscally responsible, conservative. As Dan said in his article, he was fiscally responsible and socially open to certain things. But you could always tell how Ray was going to vote if you knew who Ray was. There were some votes that were controversial, but you always knew which way Ray was going to go.
David, what do you think about this announcement?
He's one of the few Republicans I think is actually decent in Arizona nowadays before the Tea Party takeover, but I think things have changed. And like he said, I was listening to that interview on your show, things have changed a lot at every board, even at TUSD board meetings. I mean, the vitriol and the demagoguery that comes out nowadays is just so toxic that you could just tell. I think it was just taking a toll on him and he might be tired of it.
Who will be lining up? We've heard Steve Christie maybe moving into that role as a candidate, perhaps?
This story broke this morning, late last night, and it came out this morning, and my phone was just going bonkers. It was 5 o'clock this morning. Nobody cared what time it was. They were like, oh my God, who's going to run? Six names have popped up. Supposedly, the Democrats are going to field a candidate if Ray does step down. At this point, like I said, it's just rumor that he is going to, but we'll find out on Friday. The interesting thing is Marla Clausen is running, regardless if he does decide to run or not. There is a Republican primary. She's been the only candidate that's been out there for the last 2 or 3 months. Had her campaign kickoff last night. Steve Christie has been rumored to run. I haven't confirmed that with Steve myself, but there has been other rumors this morning that if it is an open seat, others will run. A crowded primary doesn't really help anybody. You're going to have to be the true spoken voice. We saw that with Allie Miller in Board of Supervisor District 1 the last time a seat was vacated. Ann Day stepped down, and there were four Republicans running there. Everybody thought the establishment odds-on favorite would win. It did not. It went to the true people's champion, if you will, and that was Allie Miller.
Let's switch gears here. David Morales, this sick leave discussion has really a lot of the business community very upset that Rahina Romero had brought up that it would be, that it was a new proposal that would basically earn sick and safe time for employees of all businesses within the Tucson city limits. Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, I do think it's a good idea. I think it's actually part of a bigger thing. It was mentioned in last year's State of the Union address by Barack Obama. And, you know, I can think of, you know, Obama and Regina Romero probably, you know, two of the top five hated people by Republicans in Tucson. So, you know, obviously it's not going to get any support but from the business community. But I was doing my research on it this morning and, you know, it's basically interesting. If you look at the arguments, there's basically two types of arguments involved in this, opposed or in favor of. And a lot of the opposition is actually very philosophical. It's about the role of government and government intrusion and whatnot. And, you know, that's something that you can't really – that's just an opinion. But there's actually been a lot of data that's been collected over the years because they've done this in other places like San Francisco, Portland, Connecticut. And if you look at the actual numbers, it's pretty negligible the impact on business at the end, despite all the rhetoric and the hyperbole you hear revolving around this. You know, at most, I mean, first of all, most business. You had Rothschild on, I think, last Friday,
mm-hmm.
and then he was saying that most of the businesses actually already kind of have something like this. And you know, what kind of business do you want that doesn't allow that? You know, make sick people come to work, or if they don't come to work, you know, they might not be able to pay their mortgage, and you know, just the benefits overall far outweigh the costs.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, I think forcing these regulations on a business is anti-business, and we always talk about how pro-business is. This was brought to City Manager Mike Ortega from Councilmember Rahina Romero, so of course they have to look into it. Just by having to look into it, you have created a divide in the government versus the business sector. You've made it, again, unfriendly for Tucson to attract businesses. Going the wrong direction. You don't want to force these sanctions, if you will, or overreach by the government on the businesses. What you want to do is you want to invite businesses into our area that take very good care of their staff. And the one that I'm going to go with is the Illegal Pete's, because it's controversial in its own right. But they pay their people very well. So if you invite companies like that that pay their people very well into Tucson, and you don't, then there's no need to force this upon people because it's already taken care of. So let the business community regulate and dictate itself. And as an employee, if you're working for somebody and they don't give you the time off, you all have friends and you all hear through the rumor mill who's paying what, where, or there's an opening over here and this is a better job, an opportunity presents itself, and then you have to take personal gain or risk and say, am I going to do it or not? Am I going to stay here and be oppressed according to what was said by the council members, or am I going to take that risk and make the change and better myself? It's up to you, not for the businesses to decide.
Well, I mean Tucson is a finite community where, you know, finite resources and finite jobs, and you know, you can't always just leave jobs, and I mean, sometimes you're lucky to get a job in this town. And you know, actually, I think it doesn't necessarily have to be sick leave. It can just be paid time off for anything. Like sometimes you just need a personal day. And if you look at how much it is, like it adds up to like what, a week per year. I mean, sometimes you just need a day off. Sometimes if you're sick, I mean, why do you want to come to work and get everyone else sick? So they've done studies on that and showing that actually, you know, the spread of diseases at work after companies passed this has declined.
So are you saying as a humane gesture, this shouldn't even be an issue?
It's not an issue, Bill, and this is why it's not.
Okay.
Because I'll take my personal company, for instance.
All right.
We pay our people well enough that if they need to take a day off, mm-hmm. they can afford to.
Okay.
So it goes back to, where do they want to work? They can work for any company in town, but they choose to stay and work with us because we treat them well. And that's the whole lifeblood of business. If you treat your employees well, they will reciprocate and treat you well.
It's not
These are the businesses that are not being fair and just to their employees. Great, go ahead. They're not going to be here very long anyhow, because people are going to find a better job and they're going to find a better way to survive.
That's all like philosophical. There's no like data to back up what you're saying. I mean, so first of all, you're using anecdotal evidence to say like,
well, I live it.
Yeah, you're saying my company and you're saying this other company. That's not every company in
Show
Tucson.
Show me a company in Tucson that's extorting their employee, as you will.
The argument here is about whether we should have sick leave. I mean, that's the argument, right?
Shouldn't be necessary. It shouldn't be an argument. It's unnecessary by somebody. You cannot propose somebody something from somebody who's never owned a business. And right now we have a council member who's never owned a business proposing something that is not a real day problem. If you pay your people well enough, they can take a day
but
off. They don't have to be burdened on the streets
argument,
and go into poverty over one day off.
It's purely philosophical. You're saying it's all hypothetical. If this, if that. But that's not the reality in this town. I think the minimum wage. I mean, so I hear the arguments from the right, and they're saying, "Oh, this is just horrible. We need to attract more businesses." Do we really want to attract more businesses to Tucson that pay less than $15 an hour? I mean, is that really going to boom Tucson's economy?
You have to give me an educated workforce that's worth more than $15 an hour.
You have to educate the
TUSD
people.
TUSD isn't doing it because of your elected board.
No, because the state, which is going to be our next topic at some time today.
Because of the state. It's because of the determination, or because of the educated project that's coming.
Can cops do their jobs without being fully funded?
No.
If they don't have the tools necessary, can they do the best job necessary?
City councils cut their funding. Who cuts the teacher funding? It comes from the school board.
It comes from
the school board.
The
school board fails to pay the teachers enough.
The state.
Sorry, we switched gears on you, Bill.
Okay, well, no, David feels that the problem does go back to Phoenix, right?
Yeah, the issue here was about, get educated and get a better job, but it's hard to get educated. Especially in this town, because the state does not do what it's supposed to do, and that's take care of education.
$9,300 per student goes into the school district. The school district then distributes that money. They gave H.T. Sanchez a 25% raise, and they pay their teachers $20,000 less than on average over the entire state. How is that proper use of funds?
Okay, where do the funds that get cut from the state? See, that's the thing. You're looking at the already cut piece of pie that
which is $9,300 per student.
It's already, the 48th in the nation?
It's still $9,300 per student.
Arizona has cut education funding by 23% since 2009.
Irregardless of the cuts, it is $9,300 current day going into the classroom per student. Use the money that you're given appropriately. Don't give it to the administrator. Give it to the teacher.
Okay.
And right now, your board on TUSD is not giving that. They are giving H.T. Sanchez,
the
administration,
what about
and not the,
other the
teacher.
What about
the other districts?
We're going to have to take a break right here a little bit over. Coming up on 12:17, it's the monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales, and they will be certainly differing over Proposition 123. We'll be talking about that, speaking of education, as the showdown continues. 790-2040. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, let's hear from you. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday as we talk with Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. Also, we meet Shelley Keis, Republican legislative candidate in District 2. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Voice, we live stream and have podcasts and show archive on my site, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The first Wednesday of the month is Showdown Day on Buckmaster from 12:04 to 12:30. 790-2040 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. David Morales, who is the founder of the blog The Three Sonorans, is with us. And Sean McCluskey, who has a talk show called The Talk of the Town, right here on this very radio station from 9 to 10 each morning. Sean and David, what about Proposition 123? Are you going to vote yes, Sean, and hold your nose?
I reluctantly will vote yes. I like the idea of giving more money to schools. Not at all. I don't think it gets appropriated. I don't think it gets used appropriately. So at that point, I'm against it, but I'm also for it because it's a way to fund education. And as David mentioned in the earlier segment, we don't do that currently in Arizona. I don't think. And it's been proven that if you throw money at a situation, it doesn't always fix the problem because it comes down to local control. And that's been my argument with a lot of the Republicans who have been supporting this in the House and Senate, even the governor's office as well. And they've stated that it's local control and it goes down to your school district and they're supposed to use the money accordingly.
David, are you going to vote yes or no on Prop 123 in May?
I'm voting no. It's a horrible idea because if you think about where does this even come from, mm-hmm. It comes from years there was a lawsuit where the state of Arizona was not giving education what it was due. Now I think it owes education like $1.3 billion, which hurts education despite what H.T. Sanchez makes. It still hurts education overall. And I mean, the universities have taken cuts. I mean, 23% cut since 2009 in education spending. Pima Community College gets zero from the state now. And, Maricopa Community College gets zero from the state now. So there's been just this vicious attack on education spending in this state. And the thing is that the Supreme Court of Arizona even ruled that the legislature owed this money to education. And instead of paying the $1.3 billion that is due, and guess what? We have a surplus. We have the money. Like, actually, this $300 million that they want to raise, we can pay for it out of our surplus. But the reason we will not is because Arizona refuses, because where was Doug Ducey last week, right? At the Koch convention, right? Koch brothers convention. The rule is,
where was he yesterday? Mexican consulate here in Tucson.
Okay, but we're talking about education. And so the rule there is that any surplus that you get, rather than pay for education, you cut corporate taxes more and more and more. And I can guarantee you we're going to cut taxes even further this year. And this doesn't even pay. So this is what this bill does right here. It says, all right, I'm a father and I owe child support to my kids. I owe it. The court has said I owe this money to them. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take money out of their college savings fund to pay for the child support now. I'm using their own money to pay the money that I owe them. And now they have less money in the future. That's what this bill does.
That's incorrect.
No, that's what it is.
If you take the land trust fund and you look at the total right now, mm-hmm. there's $5 billion in there. If you at the end of it, at the end of the 10-year project, it'll be $6.5 billion. I had the proposition 1, 2, 3 on my show on Tuesday, and we went over these numbers. The other thing that it does that you stated that you're a fan of is putting more money into the classroom. Do you agree putting more money in the classroom or more money per student is better for the school district? If that's the case, the $3,900 that comes from this project, proposition 1, 2, 3. It would then take the $9,300, add another $3,900 to it, and now you're at $14,000 or so just about per student. It then goes back to the school board, and do they allocate the money appropriately? You need to put the money in the classroom where it's going to affect the kids.
Noah, our friend, has emailed me. Sean's number is wrong, he says. TUSD pays teachers only $2,000 less than the state average.
Sorry.
Most districts in the county pay far less. Also, Noah wants to ask David, if it is all the state's fault, why do we do so much worse at paying teachers in Southern Arizona districts compared to the state average? That points, according to our friend Noah, to poor district choices.
Well, I mean, first of all, Tucson is a poorer place than the rest of the state. I mean, Tucson has less money, and so a lot of this, the income, like, for example, if you look just within Tucson, even within TUSD, average teacher pay at Pueblo on the south side is way less than the pay at Sabino High School. And so it's just a matter of where you are. And the thing here, but what Sean was saying earlier was the state owes a $1.3 billion period. We voted for a sales tax to pay for education. That there's no discussion. This is the rule of law, right? And this is what's interesting is if this proposition fails, the lawsuit's still in effect. But here's the thing. How can the court force the legislature to do what the court has ordered it to do?
Three bodies of the government.
I know. So, but how do you enforce it, right?
You
so
have a disagreement between
you're going to have
bodies.
A nice showdown, right? And but that's the thing is they owe that money.
So you stick
period.
It to the voters, and then the voters have the right to say yes or no
and,
to that.
And the voters.
And at the end of the day, what's best? Is it best to take it back and vote no, and go back into litigation and have the state lawyers versus the school board lawyers go back to
make
battling?
A lot of money, the lawyers.
And they'll make a gazillion dollars. So I would imagine that the lawyers or association will come out against it. Yeah. But everybody in the school board's for it.
All the
teachers are for this. Why are
because they're so hungry for money? They're so broke.
Well, then why are you against it?
Because they actually owe us more money, right? And right
you're
now
you're a teacher. Why are you against it?
Right now, what they want is any kind of money. They're so afraid.
$3,900 per student.
Why did the Republican legislature not spend the money that was allocated to education for education? Why did you guys rob
not
our
in the state
treasury?
Legislature. Can't answer that. But
okay,
I can
but
tell
these
you
are
this.
Your people. Why did they do that?
$3,900 per student. You're against
Listen,
it. I don't understand
no.
why you're against
okay,
it.
Okay, you. I'm against it because they really owe over $1 billion. You said the voters voted for a sales tax increase for education. They robbed it. They stole it from us. They're deadbeats.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, David, but you're saying this kind of lets them get away with something.
It lets them get away with theft and robbery of education resources. That's a fact. The state Supreme Court ruled it. It's not my opinion. It's the state Supreme Court. The rule of law, the Constitution that you love so much, they're
yes,
ignoring it.
Right, and it comes down to that there's three bodies of the government, and when we went through the financial straits we went through, and we had Jan Brewer as our governor,
so should they pay?
They swept it.
Should they pay the money that the state Supreme Court has ordered them to pay?
That's bringing it to the voters as proposition
no.
1, 2, 3.
Your
so
personal opinion, should
let's,
they?
Let's
should
bring, I don't have any children, so personally,
should
I don't care. I mean, I care at the end of the day because I want a better end student.
No, but
if I can guarantee that this will
opinion,
give a better end student, I'd wholeheartedly support
Supreme
it. But I can't
court,
say that
if the state Supreme Court orders them
TUSD
to pay
use the money appropriately.
$1.3 billion, do you think that the state legislature should obey the state Supreme Court order?
If they had the money, yes, but they didn't have the money, so they reshuffled.
You know
the
why
bank.
They don't have the money is because they keep cutting taxes and they keep you know
that's
you,
not true.
It is true.
No, because our state income levels are rising, even though we're cutting taxes, and they're going to continue to cut taxes. Taxes because it encourages business to come here.
There's
that's what
no
it's all
need,
about. And you need the third component
can't
to that.
You can't cut taxes
if you
owe this money.
If you have lesser taxes and you attract more businesses and you produce a better student by voting yes on Proposition 1, 2, 3, it goes hand in hand.
All right.
So they work harmoniously.
So let's say you have someone on your show and he owes $13,000 of child support, okay? And the court has ordered him to pay that. And then he says, you know what? I'm only going to pay $300. What would you call him? Would you call him a deadbeat dad?
$300 every month, $300 every week. We got to work out a deal here. We're working out a deal.
$300 the next 10 years.
Oh, every month?
So now he pays $3,000 when he really owes a lot more.
I'd take it because it's better than nothing. And then I'd reevaluate and go back
so
later.
So then the trick is for all
you
the
You got to be able to negotiate.
So for all
right
the,
now you're getting zero.
For
is
all,
zero better
okay,
than
so what you're saying is anyone who owes money in this state, any father, they don't have to pay their child support because in 10 years they're just going to settle for less anyways because that's the best that they can trickle down to their own children. These are the children of Arizona that we're talking about. And
that would something that deadbeat dad would have to
prisons.
Live with.
We're spending more on prisons, aren't we?
And I've looked into this. In the
over $1 billion.
And by what they're doing in the prison system is producing less end inmates by having them go into prison and get basically rehabilitated and having the programs work to have them not come back. And that's more important than – it's also important with education because you got to teach the kids not to go to jail in the first place. But once they end up in the detention system, you need to make sure that they don't end up back there again. And that's where the money's going.
Our
in
current
the detention
system right now guarantees right. funding to the private prisons, even if the prison beds are not filled because they're corporations. They make money
okay.
off of prisons.
And they're overfilled.
All right,
right
we're going to have to run. Tomorrow we will have Diane Douglas, the superintendent of public instruction here. And one of my first questions for Superintendent Douglas will be, is she going to support Proposition 123? She has not decided. I have not seen anything that she's made a decision one way or another, but that will be very interesting to see if the state schools chief will be in favor of the Proposition 123. That is tomorrow on Buckmaster. That's it for the showdown. Gentlemen, Sean and David, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, 12:31 on Buckmaster. The mayor of Oro Valley, dentist Dr. Satish Hiremath. He's next on our show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Question. How many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use 5-Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, where we live stream the show at the KVOI.com website and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com, so you can hear the program pretty much anywhere in the world if you're around a computer. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line, and we go to the town of Oro Valley, Dr. Satish Hiremath. A practicing dentist, and from what I understand, he's a very good one. He's on our live line today. How are you, Doctor?
Bill, I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, very good. In fact, Ray Allen, Ray, you don't mind if I say that Dr. Hiremath is your particular dentist. So.
No. In the interest of full disclosure.
Yeah, there you go. The interest of full disclosure. That's right. Dr. Hiremath is also the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, and that will be what we will be focusing on, not some dentistry issues, although I'm sure a lot of people probably have teeth issues, and so it wouldn't be such a bad idea.
There you go.
Yeah. Oro Valley, how are you doing now with, I understand that the golf course, the very controversial situation that was the centerpiece of that recall, it cost a little more than expected, the financial losses there, is that right?
Yes, it is. And, you know, people want to make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, in simple terms, we had projected a $1.9 million loss. But when you add in all the revenue components, we're looking at a $2 million revenue infusion. So basically, at the end of the year, just based on those two numbers alone, we're going to be in the black $100,000. So at the end of the fiscal year, we project our fund balance for that fund to be in the black $250,000. And what's disingenuous about the whole conversation is people only focus on the expense, but they neglect to add in the revenue because it's not a sexy story. I mean, is it a sexier story, Bill, if I told you Oro Valley is losing $1.9 million a year, no hope for recovery? Or is it a sexy story if I tell you, well, we're actually going to be projected to be in the black by $100,000? Well, if that's the case, then, well, what's the controversy?
Right. People would say, oh, well, okay, they're doing better.
That's exactly right.
Now, people that don't follow this very as closely as your residents of Oro Valley, could you tell us, what is this really? What's the bottom line here? And is this open now to people that do not live in the town of Oro Valley?
It is open to people who do not live in the town of Oro Valley. And the town had the opportunity to purchase 324 acres for $1 million interest-free over 3 years. And on the property of 324 acres was 45 holes of golf, 31 tennis courts, a pool, a garden cafe, a restaurant, and a 60,000 square foot building that we now use for a community center. Hmm. And so that's what we got for $1 million. And so it is open to the general public, and you know, all the events that we're planning up there are going like gangbusters. So we're very, very pleased. Because the bottom line is that the town of Oro Valley, prior to this acquisition, did not have bricks and mortar to host these kind of things.
How about the restaurant there?
restaurants doing very well. You know, we have a very large group of individuals who are committed to patronizing pasta night on Thursdays. It's all you can eat pasta. And then Fridays we have our traditional order off the menu dinner, and that's going real well. Matter of fact, you know, we always do special occasion kind of things. This Valentine's Day, Robert Cassley, who's our head chef up there, is preparing an incredible meal. I think you get to choose from duck or short ribs or lobster, and then he's going to have a creation, a dessert creation of his own mind, actually, to be honest with you. And so it's $79 per couple, and reservations are required, so we encourage people to call in. But that's going very well as well.
Is that restaurant just open for dinner or all day?
No, it's open mostly for lunch, so we don't have breakfast service, although we're thinking about including breakfast service, and we only have evening service for dinner on Thursday and Friday only. So it's lunch every day, and then only Thursday and Friday for dinner.
How is the town doing here at the midway point of our fiscal year, a little more past the, actually with only about 5 months to go in the fiscal year?
We're doing very well, again, with all the revenue sources, the sales tax that we're getting in, and all the other expenses and revenue. We're tracking exactly where we hope to be. And so, you know, every year we have a balanced budget. The past 4 years, I'm happy to say that we've always ended the fiscal year not only a balanced budget, but with a little bit of surplus at the end, and that's what we anticipate for this year as well.
Our friend General Wickham is with us. As you know, Dr. Hiram Matthews with us talking about foreign affairs the first Monday of each month. And, of course, he's one of Oro Valley's biggest boosters, lives up at Splendido, and he's been very good for your community. And we were talking this last session on Monday about how Oro Valley is really trying to help veterans find employment.
We are. As a matter of fact, the town of Oro Valley, through the motion and saying yes to creating the Oro Valley Veteran Support Initiative, and we focus on four things called HEED: health, employment, education, and discounts. And so Sandy Briney is the individual who actually heads the Oro Valley Veteran Support Initiative. And it is geared toward helping vets. And Bill, as you very well know, veterans now don't comprise the 60 to 70 to 80 year old group anymore. These are kids 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, in addition to not only the vets, but the families of the veterans as well. So Oro Valley is very committed to that. We just last council meeting are talking about maybe putting up a veterans memorial right here in the town of Oro Valley. And so that's gaining some legs, and it's going out to a task force or a committee to take a look to see what kind of ideas to come back. But town of Oro Valley is very strong supporters of veterans.
How about your town manager there, Mr. Greg Canton? He is a finalist for a city manager job in Grand Junction, Colorado. This would be a big loss, wouldn't it, for Oro Valley?
It sure would. And, you know, Greg, Greg has done a remarkable job, heading the staff side, the team side on the staff side of the town of Oro Valley. But, you know, there's some things that he feels that he has to do as well. You know, he hails from Colorado. He hails from Durango. All his family's back there. And so after 5 years, he's got Oro Valley on solid financial footing and a very positive vision. And I think he just wants to get back to his roots, Bill. And, you know, he informed not only me but the council as well. And he's excited about the opportunity. He's looking forward to another challenge. But for the town of Oro Valley, it will be a big loss. You know, there's no way you can replace an individual like that. You know, you just have to kind of just see where the chips fall and see what happens. And we wish him the best of luck. You know, first and foremost, we care about Greg Cate and the individual. Not really Greg Cate and the town manager. So, we support his decision and we wish him the best of luck.
Dr. Hiremath, Mayor Hiremath, how long have you been a dentist?
I've been a dentist 25 years.
Wow.
I moved here in June of 1990. My practice celebrated 23 years this past October.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What is the number one? I got to do a dental question for you here. I haven't done one in a long time with you. What is the number one question that your patients ask of you? Is it about how often they should come for a cleaning or teeth inspection?
Well, mostly why are the exams important mm-hmm. when the majority of the time they don't feel any pain?
Right.
And so what I tell them, I said, you know, unfortunately in my line of work, pain's not the only criteria. And by the time it gets to pain, that's usually when more invasive procedures need to be done. So it's really kind of reinforcing the necessity for preventive maintenance. Again, going back to, you know, whether things are glamorous or not so glamorous, it's not too glamorous when we talk about prevention issues.
That's for sure. Dr. Hiermath, Mayor Hiermath, thank you very much. Always a pleasure having you on the program.
Bill, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. The mayor of Oro Valley. Also want to remind folks that Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, what a great place to get away. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson, a totally different environment that you can recreate in the Gila National Wilderness, downtown historic Silver City, a lot to do there as well. Great places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Casitas de Gila guest houses, the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do on their very nice website, Southwest New Mexico. Just type it all in, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found at the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment.
Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by the University of Arizona College of Science. With nearly 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students, the UA College of Science brings together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. You can find out more on their fine website, cos.arizona.edu, and UA Science and Innovation, a place of discovery. Joining us now for our monthly visit about what's going on at Biosphere 2, Dr. Kevin Bonine is with us. Kevin, good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you very much.
Kevin is Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2. He's also Director of Outreach Initiatives at the University of Arizona College of Science. And, of course, Kevin, one of the big outreach measures, initiatives, is the lecture series, which has been so popular over the years. This is the 11th year. And we had Dr. Joaquin Ruiz on the program, the dean of the College of Science, talking about this year's series, which is going right now, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Monday of this week was the second lecture in the six-part series. We pack Centennial Hall with thousands of speakers, thousands of guests who want to watch the speakers. And on Monday, we had a fantastic individual from the University of Washington, and he was so excited to be giving a science talk to an audience of that size, and he really articulated how Tucson is so special in that regard.
Well, there aren't many communities that could pack a lecture hall for a science lecture. Let's face it. I mean, this is really a special place when it comes to people that want to learn more.
That's exactly right. We have lots of folks who live in the Tucson area that really do want to learn more, and they want to know what that cutting-edge information is. And the College of Science and the University of Arizona are both leaders in developing and disseminating that information. And you have to give credit to Joaquin Ruiz, the dean of the college, for his initiatives to get that information in front of the public. He's done a fantastic job, and Tucson has responded.
This popular lecture series, which is going on over the next couple of Mondays, is about climate change in February. And the Earth Transformed is the theme, and that will dovetail with what has been going on out at Biosphere 2 with this very popular new series. It's called What If. A little bit about What If and what about the February lineups?
Sure. So What If You Could See Tomorrow is the theme for these Saturday events at Biosphere 2. Our scientists ask what if every day, and we want to get that sense of wonder and the value and importance of those scientific findings in front of the public. Most of our visitors don't come out to see a lecture like they come to Centennial Hall on Monday evenings. They're coming out to Biosphere 2 to see our facility. And so what we're doing is kind of a hybrid model where we give them a very short presentation by our guest faculty and guest experts. And then those guest experts are also around to interact informally. We have lots of hands-on demonstrations, and it's really a lot of fun for everybody involved.
What do we have coming up this Saturday? And by the way, all of these events pretty much get underway about noon. It's a great opportunity to interact with some of the greatest minds, certainly in many cases in the world, when it comes to areas, in this particular case, will be about climate change.
That's right. We wanted to take advantage of the interest and focus on climate change with the Monday evening campus college lecture series, and do the same thing at Biosphere 2 with a different set of experts in a different setting. And we have a great lineup of four people coming up the four Saturdays of February. And first up is Greg Baron Gafford. He's a faculty member at Biosphere 2 and in the School of Geography at the University of Arizona. And he sort of looks at the interface of ecosystems and geography and resilience and sustainability. And what he's going to talk about is how you can actually use plants to help cool, because of the evapotranspiration of the plants, you can cool solar panels and make them more efficient. Most people don't know that solar panels become less efficient as they heat up. So figuring out ways to cool them is actually fairly important, especially here in southern Arizona.
All right, that's going to be this Saturday. Then the following Saturday, very interesting topic. What if corals, our coral reefs, can survive a warming climate? And there are questions whether or not they will even survive the warming climate.
That's right. There's interesting evidence about what happens to corals as you heat the ocean. There's a few species that might be able to survive, but most species, it looks like, will have a hard time. Dr. Julie Cole, who's in geosciences at the university and is the ocean research director at Biosphere 2, she's going to talk to the public about what we know, why we know it, and show people some of her samples and examples, including cores from coral in the Great Barrier Reef and from the coral at Biosphere 2.
And, of course, tropical rainforests, how are they going to respond to a changing climate? And that will be the topic, what if tropical rainforests are resilient to climate change, on Saturday at noon to 2 on February 20th.
We have so many great people at the university and at Biosphere 2, and Joost van Haren is going to be our presenter on the 20th. He's in charge of the rainforest research. And what we're learning at Biosphere 2 has huge implications for sort of the planetary ecosystem, because some people have described the Amazon basin as sort of the lungs of the Earth. And if all of those trees, all that biomass is functioning differently in the face of climate change, that's going to have huge impacts at a global scale.
And then the final Saturday in February, the 27th, this is a question a lot of people have been asking. What if the climate change forecasts are indeed correct?
And Greg Garfin is an expert on campus in climate change. He's with Institute of the Environment and School of Natural Resources in the Environment. And he's been very involved in a number of the national and international reports about climate change globally, but especially about the southwestern U.S. And so he's going to talk about sort of what the projections are and, you know, how confident are we in those projections? And what does that mean for temperature, for rainfall, for water availability, for plant growth, all those sorts of things that make life more or less enjoyable for us?
And I know you're asked this question a lot. What if climate change isn't for real? I mean, there are some people, there's a segment of the population that just hasn't bought into it.
I think, you know, when you look at 7 billion people plus around the world, you're going to get some naysayers. But the people who have looked at the information and are looking at it with a purposeful and thoughtful approach using science, the overwhelming body of evidence is that the climate certainly is changing. And the only explanation that makes sense at this point is the human modification of basically the way carbon is being cycled in the ecosystem. We have all these fossil fuels that have been buried underground for hundreds of millions of years, and they're being released on such a short time scale that they're having dramatic impacts on basically greenhouse gases and the rate of warming of the planet.
Do you think people confuse the day-to-day weather with kind of the big picture?
I think that's a great question. I think oftentimes people will use examples of what's going on today that seems to
fly. Yeah, like it's really, really cold. Like last night, it was really cold. How can the climate be warming?
That's right. You want to look at the averages. You want to look at the variability and whether or not that's changing. But weather is sort of what you get, and climate is what you expect. And we're seeing very obvious changes, very statistically robust changes over time that we can only explain by how humans have altered the ecosystem.
Dr. Kevin Bonine with us, Director of Education and Outreach at Biosphere 2, where they have the What If series going on. And you're not visitors to the center are not going to get a lecture from these scientists. They're going to get really an interactive experience, and I think we can't stress that enough.
That's very important. We've found that when visitors come up to Biosphere 2, it's only a small subset of them that would be interested in sitting for a 45-minute lecture. But most of them are very, very excited to get sort of a 5-minute overview of the biggest and most important findings from these experts. And then they have a couple of hours of sort of informal interactions, hands-on activities. They really get to sort of do something. They get to ask questions in a way that they could never ask in a lecture format. So it's worked out really, really well for all of us.
And for our listeners who are wintering in Tucson, they have not been to Biosphere 2, and for locals as well, where is Biosphere 2 located, and what are some of the nuts and bolts about the What If series?
Sure. So I would recommend folks look at biosphere2.org, which is our website. And the Biosphere 2 facility is basically just the Tucson side of Oracle, Arizona. So you drive out through Oro Valley and Catalina, and then there's an obvious turnoff towards the Catalina Mountains, and Biosphere 2 is right there. And our What If series is on Saturdays midday. I would recommend getting there before noon, and then you have plenty of time to interact with the scientists for the next couple of hours while you're there and while those visiting experts are there.
And how much time should someone allow to actually see the facility? Well, a couple of hours for sure.
A couple of hours for sure. I'm a little bit biased. You know, I go to a place like that, I'd like to spend all day.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get in and out of there much faster than 90 minutes or 2 hours, and it's definitely well worth the time to spend more time there, taking advantage of all the things that you can see and learn about.
All right, biosphere2.org, the good place to start. Dr. Kevin Bonine, thank you very much, Kevin. Good to see you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We will talk to you again in March because the series is continuing really through April, right?
We're going to go
through
May.
Go through May,
and then we'll take a hiatus in the summer.
All righty. Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, 4, Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. So we do a lot of local talk on this radio station, 6 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and of course a lot of local talking on the weekend as well. We believe in localism here. Very important. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Back with you tomorrow, 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show with Superintendent of Public Instruction for Arizona, Diane Douglas. Back right after these breaks.